Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Hey lady, can I say something to you for a minute? Please? No, now. Before you take your coat off. That's it. I've got something to tell you. See, what I have to say is so very important to our relationship. Why is it every time we go out on the town and get around my friends? Man, you're always talking about what you got. What I done bought for you. How much money I make. And what school our children go to. And all the fancy clothes and the big pretty cars and the big diamond rings and the fantastic mink coats. Is you for real? No, I don't think you are. Sit down now. No, sit down. No, don't say nothing. You see, wait a minute. That's your problem. That is your problem. You're always saying the wrong thing at the right time. You see, I don't know how to explain it to you. The best I can tell you is what my mother told me as I was coming up. She used to say, son, chances go round. She's saying the same people that you meet going up, you make the same old faces coming down. Tell the truth. You see, people today, they come out, man, to party. They come out to party, man. They didn't come out to hear all that job mess you talking about. You standing up in the corner with a bottle of champagne, talking about Harry, Joe, and Dick, and Bobby, and what they ain't got. And they live down in the lower development homes, and you won't even help. You won't even buy them a drink. Is that any way to be? If you're going to boast, boast around somebody that has what you have. Don't make your own brothers and sisters feel bad. You see, listen. I know you know what I'm talking about because from time to time I can remember you coming to me, putting your head on my shoulder and crying. Oh, Papa, why? Why? Why don't nobody want to be my friend? You told me a long time ago, you said, Papa, what am I doing? I didn't want to tell you then. I thought you'd have sense enough to realize what you're doing, but I see you don't. Sit down and listen to me. No, sit down. People are too sensitive today. They don't want to hear all that job you're talking about. You see, they don't want to hear about what you got because they're trying to get it too. Tell the truth. I can't very much blame them. As much as it hurts me, it hurts to see people going around behind our backs saying that here's a woman this, here's a woman that. And she ain't this, she ain't that. I want to be proud of you, mama. I want to be proud of you. Listen, as long as you live, as long as you live, whether you're with me or not, be free.
Another episode of Unmasked with authors Terry E. Lyle and Chris. I took y'all way back in the time. If y'all don't know who that was Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes, Be For Real. And I want to thank all my listeners that's tuning in the 30 countries around the globe. Thank you for tuning in on this Friday. And all my listeners from north to south and east to west, I appreciate you as well. And my guest who's hanging out with me and Chris on a Friday, he could have been doing something else, but he said, what the heck, man, all this COVID-19, I better hang out on the radio. And I ain't mad at him at all. But you know something, this show's about no filters. I'm going to introduce my co-host first, and then, you know, like always, I'm going to be off the hook, off the chain. That's what I do. That's why people listen all around the globe, because I talk that stuff that y'all think about saying. But anyway, if you want to jump in on the conversation, dial 347-945-6003. three and hit the one key, then I will unmute your mic. But if you don't want to say nothing because the show is live and you're afraid, can't nobody see you in your hair rollers or in your underwear, whatever you're wearing. They can't see you, but you can stay in the background. We're not going to bother you, and we can't hear nothing going on in your spot unless you hit that one key. Then I'm going to open up the mic. But as long as it's not hit, we're going to let you do what you do. So without further ado, how you doing, Chris?
Hello, Terry. I'm doing fabulous. I always look forward to our I always look forward to the shows, but I definitely am looking forward to this one.
I know that's right. The show's called No Filters, so we can talk about anything. And as usual, I'm going to let Chris go first because he all clean and everything, and I'll be ratchet when he finishes.
All right. I'll go first. All right, Stefan. My first question, you know, my first question to you is, you know, all this talk about the COVID-19 vaccinations. What is your, what do you think about it? Do you think, what do you plan on getting vaccinated? And do you support or are you against the vaccine?
Okay, so honest, right? This is all about honesty.
Yep.
I'm waiting
That's
to see, you know, I'm waiting to see how it affects everybody else. I'm not wanting, you know, to get vaccinated. So, you know, I'm not, you know, my thing is I want to get past COVID. And if this is the thing that does it and keeps us safe and, you know, it's no real super side effects. Think about it. You ever see those commercials where, you know, it's supposed to be about a headache pill, but it gives you a leaky bowel and stuff like that. I don't want to be walking around with leaky bowel, you know, right. All the side effects or grow a third eye or whatever, you know, so. You know, I'll just wait and see.
Okay, well, I respect it.
That's a good point. That's a good question, Chris, because you're right. Every time they find some weapons for diabetes or heart condition or bipolar, the medicine is good, but the side effects are blindness, you know, diarrhea, leaky bowels, you know, all these other stuff. So how do y'all know it's so good for the thing y'all talking about is good for, you know? So you're right, and that was
side
my
effects.
Thing, too.
Yeah, side effects are important.
That's right. You're absolutely correct, but, you know, I'm going to wait. But my question for you, Stefan, is I'm going to take you back in time a little bit. How old were you when you started pissing in bed?
Yeah. You know what? Let me tell you. I'm from the country. I'm from the country. And so, I'm real old. And they believed in corporal punishment. So I lived near five generations of women on both sides of my family and stayed with my maternal grandmother, who would send you to get three switches, and then have you and she would braid
switches.
she would braid them together. So it only took one or two of those, you know, to wake you up, you know, after you know peed the bed, you know, for you to stop.
Uh-huh.
So I stopped real early. I stopped real early.
Well, I stopped peeing and beer early, but I still got that switch, and they would say, go get me a switch. I tried to get the shortest switch I could find, you know. They would make me go back out to get a long one. Ooh, man.
Exactly.
I'm talking about wet. Man, ooh,
exactly.
Lord. But I just couldn't quit. Couldn't shut up my mouth then. I can't close my mouth now. But okay, I'm going to kick it back over to Chris.
Okay.
Totally out of left field. I didn't expect that question.
I know. I told you I was going there and be ratchet tonight.
Right.
All right, Stefan. Now, let's switch topics a little bit. You know, today the House passed, the House is trying to pass the decriminalization of marijuana all that stuff. So, What's your views on marijuana? Do you think it should be legal? I mean, what's your story about marijuana? If you want to share it with us,
it should have never been criminalized. You know,
okay.
I mean, it's definitely cannabis has so many different benefits. It's really, you know, I mean, from glaucoma, people it didn't have even discovered all the benefits of, you know, of cannabis. So. You know, me personally, if I can tote, that's what I'm going to do. I was a horrible drunk. Okay, I was a violent drunk. You know, so
ooh,
everybody, you know, my fraternity brothers, my fraternity, they knew if they got me drunk and they wanted to roll on somebody, then I was the one. However, you know, marijuana always, it always cooled me out. So two Sundays ago, my daughter got married, which was hard enough to give my baby up. So I knew that I was going to celebrate. I don't drink and smoke, you know now, but I decided that, you know what, I'm going to have a good time. So whatever it was, we was going to do it. So let me tell you, I got a couple of puffs in, you know, a couple of weeks in ago, okay?
Mm-hmm. I bet you were paranoid, weren't you? Probably saw the police was outside the window on a hovercraft waiting to come get you.
But, you know, hey, look, it took me back. Let me tell you, it took me back.
Yes. You're absolutely right. I've tried it before, and, you know, it must not be for me because when I tried it, man, I was so paranoid. I was like only maybe two or three puffs in, and I don't know whether that weed, they call it skunk weed or whatever, man, I was no good. I was so nervous. I went to my room, and I got on a bed in a fetus position, and I was praying, Lord, please stop this. I promise I'll never do this again, because I was that paranoid. I was so jumpy, so that ain't me. We're going to get back to you. You know, I know that a lot of fraternities in college, you know, y'all do a lot of wild stuff, and I'm not saying this is true, but it's one fraternity guy that I know, I'm not going to mention no names. You know, he always want to talk about that anal sex. Now, is it true to say that some of y'all frat brothers are dipping and doing that download brother stuff with each other?
Well, you know,
and be honest,
thing,
it might not be your fraternity,
yeah,
but I'm sure you've heard about it because I ain't never seen a guy had a butt fetish like he did, you know. And I'm saying, what is going on? And I'm not going to say the fraternity because I ain't trying to put nobody out there and I don't know what fraternity belongs to.
Look, here's the thing. They're all kinds. It doesn't matter. If you have the numbers, you're gonna get all kinds. And
right.
Even though it's not my preference, and even though I'm mature now. But back in the day when I was in undergrad, I wouldn't have stood for it. I would have tried to beat the But we do have some fraternity brothers that are gay. Yeah. So
okay.
It is what it is. It is what it is, yeah.
Yeah,
just
because,
don't try
I guess I had, who I was and who I am are two different things. You know, but this one brother, back in the day, okay, I'm going to tell my story. You know, it is what it is. That's not what I do now.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do some of that dominatrix, man, and I'm saying to myself, why don't you tell your chicks to do all this and that? It's because you hard. You talk that stuff, man. And you know me, I got some kind of thrill because, watching my ex-husband cheat on me, I had this thing in me. I said, I ain't gonna never give up my trust like that. And so, given the opportunity, excuse my French, to whip some guy's ass, I was all for it. Baby, I got this, like, a little souvenir batch, they made out of wood, though. And he would like it, man. I would cuss at him and talk to him, get on your knee, pow-pow, pow-pow. I mean, I was just getting turned on, and he was loving it. He was all whipped up, bruised up, when it was all over. I'd be saying, why is this freaky stuff here? But, all in the state of California. Couldn't nobody tell the preacher that there, his daughter was out in California losing her mind. But I've seen some wild stuff, but you got a chicken, you want me to beat that, won't you? Okay, I'm down for it. I was down for it. Okay, I told you I'm getting wretched. It's on you, Chris. I'm gonna throw the ball in your direction, clean it up.
Well, can I say this? Can I say this before you ask me a question, Chris?
Go ahead.
So I had my BDSM years, and I'm alpha male. I'm uber alpha male, and so
okay.
I was a master. I was a daddy,
cool.
And yeah. So
daddy.
Yeah. So I had slaves. I had subs, and I never did get a little. I was intrigued by littles. It just never happened while I was in the lifestyle.
What do you mean when you say littles?
So littles are that's their personality. It's not that like women dressing up like children, because you know how the lifestyle is. These are women, you know, young women who are brats or little girls, you know, in essence.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. In essence.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. So yeah. I did my stint in the lifestyle. I did so, and I was a bodyguard for a troop of strippers, and a troop of strippers, you know, exotic dancers.
Oh, okay,
so
okay. But let me say this to you.
Yeah.
You said that I've heard, because I had a guest on my show before who was talking about doing that and everything, and they loved it. But my thing is, maybe just me, ain't no way. I don't care how good the sex is. I don't care whether you're hanging, whether you're hitting it pat, pat, left and right, up and down, flipping it over. I don't care. I'm not going to ever call no man daddy, because in my mind, I got two daddies, daddy in heaven, you know, our father, our Jehovah God daddy, and my earthly daddy. You know, I can't have no man penetrate me, and I'm saying daddy. I don't know. Couldn't y'all pick a different word? Like, you know, call whatever, you know, call you
no,
Wu-Tang or...
They had to address me as father.
Father?
Because... there was a lot of daddies in the lifestyle, but I was always, I told them there's a lot of daddies in the lifestyle, but you know, I'm something different. You know, I'm
well,
more
I tell
than
you,
just
but
that.
If they was calling you father, you would have never pat got none of this, because they ain't calling y'all none of them names. And I'm just saying, you know, I know my worth, but I'm a
that's why we
that
never
right
that's why we never met. That's why
yeah.
we never met.
That's right, because, you know, I'll be calling you, be calling me mama, and I'll be saying, get up on it, baby. You want some milk? Oh, this
Many
is not being ratchet. I love being ratchet. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. It's okay to be ratchet, Carrie. Okay, Stefan,
okay.
My next question, to stay on the topic, Stefan, what's the most exotic thing that you've ever done in your life, if I may ask you?
Exotic. You'll probably give me a definition of what you would say exotic. I mean, there was a period of time where anything for me is a period of time in self-discovery that it was, you know, anything and everything. So, you know.
All right. I'll clarify. The most exotic to stay on the topic of what we're on. The most exotic thing that you've done in bed. Go ahead. You can tell us.
Yeah.
Orgies, the menage a trois, you know, I was a dom, you know, I was a dom. So, you know, I mean, just
that was my other days when I didn't know no better. You know, I was living that life thinking like it was something that I needed to find out. So, like you said, you told Chris, menage a trois, da 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 da.
Yeah.
You know,
one of the things that sticks out for me when I was in graduate school then. I actually I filmed a couple. So I think that
they
was
know
for
was
me.
Being filmed?
Yeah, they knew.
Oh, okay.
It was a birthday present for the guy. The girl, it was the, you know, so the girl threw this thing for her man, yeah.
She filmed herself having sex with you to give to her man.
No, not with me. No, not with me. No. She just wanted to film. I filmed it. Yeah.
Oh, you filmed them?
So I filmed them, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Did you get anything out of it looking? Was you trying to get a close-up shot?
You know, getting in that role of you know, like you're your cameraman and, you know, the director. So I got into
right.
it. You know, I was like, you know, no, put your, hey, no, okay, and you do your leg over there. And,
oh,
no,
you was
oh,
really
put your mouth there.
For real.
So, oh, I was. That's what I thought about. I really was, you know. I was like, that was
mm-hmm.
wild. Now, you know, afterward, I was like, that was so wild, you know.
Yeah, I guess it would be wild for a person to actually get an opportunity to watch somebody having sex and taking a picture, you know, because back in the days when I was swinging, this one guy, he would come, and this guy was a trip. He would wear fishnet stockings, and he would get off watching someone else do his wife. I'm saying, say what? You know, and see, this is when I was new. I was just going, and I was looking. I wasn't doing anything, you know, but one thing about this group, when I first got into it, they made you come as a guest of somebody who's already there. You had to have a medical record in case you wanted to indulge into something. Ain't one by having nothing. But the first couple of times, I was just nosy, and I was like, wow, because my ex-husband, when he cheated on me, he got a virgin. And so the stuff that they was doing, I was curious because I wanted to know why did he cheat, because I didn't know nothing. So I wanted to see what everybody was doing. So that was my thing, my reason for getting to the wild side. But, okay,
just
ask another your question. Go ahead, baby.
All right, Stefan, my next question is, how do you, you know, in this crazy world, you know, I do a lot of, like, meditations and, you know, prayers, and I read my Bible and all that stuff. How do you de-stress in this crazy world?
You know, same thing, meditation. I am a metaphysicist, so I believe that everything is energy, and that the universe is perfect, and there is a wavelength for everything. You definitely attract. So, you know, it's all, you know, about mindset. And I, you know, I do read as well. I need to get back to writing, but meditation, breathing, and you know, just really, you know, mind over matter for me is how I do it. I definitely believe that if you have control of your mind, you can do so many different things. You know, even you know, out of body experiences. So I'm really, even though I am an ordained minister and a social pastor, this is my take on things. Yeah, this is my take on life. You know, it's my take that there's this energy that attracts.
Oh God,
you know, when you meet
somebody, I'm gonna burn in hell talking to you.
See that? Look.
Lord,
see,
Jesus,
see.
You know, I've been perfect.
See?
Oh, my goodness. Ooh, I'm going to stop being ratchet. I'm clean my act.
Well, you know, they say that preachers and cop kids are bad. You know, I was doubly bad because my dad was not only a preacher, but he was an elder in the church, but he was also a cop.
So was my dad. He was a minister, and my grandfather was too. So, you know, I watched them at the breakfast table, and I seen how they were stressed out about bills and other things, and all I saw was a man, an imperfect man dealing with us, you know. And so I never had that thing where some people who are seeking Christ's face, who go to church, and then when they hear the preacher, and if he's good at his oratorial skills, they on it, you know. They like, oh, they revere that person more than he's supposed to be revered, because whoever's up there, he's only a person. He's not God. He's God's mouthpiece, supposed to be. And see, maybe that's why I'm comfortable talking my trash, because when I talk my trash, it has nothing to do with my relationship with Christ, because I'm still trying to bring souls to Christ, but I meet them where they're at. I don't try to be facetious and try to put them down. You know, I try to be real, because I don't care who you are. Don't nobody want to hear what you got to say if you never walked in their shoes. And I've been there, and I know for a fact all the stuff that I've done, God saved me for a purpose. And it can't be for me just to write it in books. It's got for me to tell that story. And so I'm going to tell my story. People don't like it, but I'm honest about my stuff, man, you know. And I'll get in church and say what my stuff is, because, hey, you know, I got one thing I'm trying to do, to get to heaven. And I'm not going to get there being a liar. That's one thing I'm not going to do. You know, you might not like my walk, but you didn't walk it. I did. But
And my thing is, I mean, my struggle wasn't with whether God loved me. My struggle was with whether I loved me. You know, that was my struggle. And, you know, if I didn't love me, then nobody else would. And I'm talking about, you know, I'm talking about people, right? So I got into a little people-pleasing for a little while, wanting people to like me, that type of thing. And then I got into destructive behaviors, a lot of violence, lots of fights. I mean, you know, lots of fights. And then just, you know, then the promiscuity as well. It was all a part of that. But when I realized it, and, you know, of course I did the therapy piece, and that's why I went into counseling, you know, as a vocation along with the ministry. But, you know, it's just in that realization that God never ever turned his back on me. God never stopped loving me, you know. And so I said it's an affront to God for me not to love myself, not to be, you know, arrogant, not to be, you know, a narcissist about it, but, you know, care enough about me. Yeah.
That all that I am, God knew I was going to be, because God knew we were going to be before we do what we're going to do. And
Amen.
The things that I have done in my life, you know, a lot of people think that you do bad things because you're coming from a bad upbringing. I came from a good Christian home, you know, that's not it, you know, but when my ex-husband cheated on me, it's like, you know, I just felt like, what is it, you know, what's about me, why would you do that, blah, 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 so, you know, I found myself moving as far as I could from Maryland to find out things that I didn't want the church to find out about, you know, and maybe, you know, and when I say I could have been dead many times, I'm not just being making it up. I could have been dead, but God kept me, you know, from I was always a step away from either going to jail or being put in a coffin, but he kept me. So I know it ain't be about me just, you know, writing a book. You know, I think, you know, everybody got their way, you know, like John the Baptist. When he came in front of people to tell people that Christ was coming out in the wilderness eating locusts and everything and honey and stuff, he came bold with his stuff. You know, that's why he would be hit it, you know. But the thing is, you know, you ordained ministry, everybody is different, and God needs different kinds of warriors. And my warrior is not that kind that's, oh, how you doing? Let me read the book of Matthew, or let me do the penitentiary, the first five books. That's not who I am. I'm a fighter. I'm a warrior. I got a big mouth for Christ, and I'm bold with it. You know, don't judge me by what I did or how I talk. You know, because yes, I got to work with cussing. You know, and it's better than it used to be. And I contribute that to being a paramedic, being a truck driver, working in the firehouse, working in a prison, you know, all those things, you know, being around a dominantly male environment. And when they was talking that stuff, I can talk it too, you know, being stupid. But I've learned how not to say it every second. I'm getting better, because if I don't have to say it in church, I'm getting a little longer with not saying it as often. But at the end of the day, sometimes I want to curse, because sometimes my passion dictates some words be said, because I don't want y'all to think I'm joking when I'm saying it and I'm rocking my head side to side like us black women do. You know, I want y'all to know I'm feeling this. Don't want to come at me like that, but I'm just saying, you know. You know what I'm saying.
No, absolutely. And it's one of those things where we are victimized. Somebody takes advantage of us, and we begin to question ourselves and what was it that we did? What was it about us? You know, like in your, you know, of the cheating. For me, as a kid, as a teenager, you know, going to, you know, being sent to Atlanta, you know, being sent, you know, to my cousins, and then, you know, my cousin taking, you know, my male cousin taking advantage of me at a young age, and I begin to question, what does that mean for me? What does that mean about my sexuality? You know, what is that saying about me? What did I do to, you know, invite this, you know? And so I decided to just go, you know, head first, you know, into just being uber male. So whatever that meant for me at that time, and being too young to really process what maleness was, you know, the violence and all the, you know, the sexual acting out and all that kind of stuff. you know, getting into the porn, you know, early and all that kind of stuff. For me, you know, trying to process as a teen, that's what I thought maleness was.
And that was the same as for me, but just a different way. You know, you cheated on me because I didn't know nothing sexually. So I said, okay, I'm going to go furthest away from Maryland, and I'm going to get into swingers group so I can experiment and find out what's going on, you know. And then it got to the point that it wasn't sex for me. It was just trying to explore every part of my body and what made me get excited or whatever, that it became a skill. Where some people, they just have sex, and they think because they have a missioner or they turn to the side or, you know, they use some pearls or whatever or candy, you know, up in there, all that kind of stuff. They think they've done something. Where sex for me is like a art form because, I did that thing and I made it, you know, I figured it out. It was like an exam, you know. I figured it out watching and doing. So, you know, I've been celibate for a lot of years because I'm waiting on God to send me that man. But when that man comes, his head going to turn all the way around. Because I know something. Oh, God. I'm going to let Chris talk because I'll be losing it.
All right, Terry.
What you got for me, Chris?
Don't hyperventilate, Terry. I know. We get a lot of ratings. But Stefan, my next question for you is, you know, it's December, it's Christmas month. People have their lights lit up, their house lit up with Christmas lights, and you know, people are baking Christmas cookies. What's your Christmas tradition?
Well, it was when the kids were with us. It was we get up early in the morning. You know, we had matching pajama deals, and we would have lox and bagels. For breakfast, brunch. For some reason, we started that, but it was just to watch them open their presents, and even the dog. You know, we had the dog, and the dog would have presents and open the presents, but. Empty nesting for a while, and I've been just trying to build this business, and so I got to the point where as long as I have gifts for my grandchildren, that was Christmas, we got out of tradition. In fact, the last couple of years didn't even really decorate, but since COVID and we've been here, you know, I'm the one like, you know what, we're gonna get a tree, we're gonna decorate, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that. Because my idea was to just my wife and I going to Orlando, going to Florida somewhere, and spending Christmas this year.
Really?
And it didn't happen.
With COVID-19, y'all was gonna go there?
No. This was before. This was like my plan. I planned last year. To be in Orlando this year for Christmas,
okay.
But with COVID, of course, so. You know, I said, you know, we're gonna decorate, and she wanted a train, you know, to go around the tree, and I'd already bought the train, so to carry it, you know, with us down to Florida. But we're gonna have the train, so I'm gonna put the train around the tree. We're gonna do all that stuff here, we're just gonna hunker down and have Christmas.
Yeah, well, I know I love Christmas. I don't know. I love the Christmas carols. I love the sensation that you believe people are nicer, even though the scammers come out the woodwork and the people snatch women come out the store. But I want to feel like this is a season of love because it's supposed to be about the birth of Christ, even though he wasn't born in December. You know, people who enter the Bible, they can tell you that the Nissan calendar. He's not born in that particular time, so I don't know why someone said December, but it's supposed to be about Christ, the reason for the season, but I just love the music. I like the decoration. I love all of it. The only downside about that is being alone. You know, it's hard when you're waiting on the right person because for me, it's easy if I want to get a booty call. I ain't looking for that. You know, I'm waiting, you know, because, you know, I ain't no ugly chick, you know what I'm saying? So I can get some play, you know, but it's just that I don't want nobody jumping up in here. You ain't paying no bills. It's not a thing. No, I want somebody to get to know what's upside of my head, what's up in here. You know, don't be trying, you know, think you're going to get in between my legs and just leave and go somewhere else or somebody else and come back when you want. Oh, no. When you get up in this, it's going to be locked down. Clank, clank. You know what I'm saying? And if you ain't planning on sticking around a while, then keep it moving. That's all I got to say, you know, keep it moving. But, Chris, I think you got another question in you, darling, and then we're going to have to wrap this little thing up.
All right.
I am excited
all right.
about Christmas. Yes,
okay,
sir.
That's awesome. That's awesome, Stefan.
No, I just said I'm excited about Christmas.
Oh, me too, baby. Yes. Go ahead, Chris.
All right. All right. I will. My next question is, Stefan, what kind of music do you like to listen to? I like all kinds of music. What kind of music do you listen to?
Yeah, I am. Growing up, you know, as a hillbilly in Tennessee, so I like country. I have some favorite country stars, but most of them is still old school. So I'm still, no matter what genre of music, it's the old school. So like country is Patsy Cline and, you know, R&B, you know, Motown. Yeah, Motown sound. I mean, whatever. Then just my kids were eclectic with the music that they enjoy. But then I'm hip hop because, you know, I came through the 70s. So hip hop actually is, you know, from the 70s. So, you know, that sound, you know, Boogie Down Bronx and all those kind of things. And so I'm all of that, you know. even I'll go a little classical and a little jazz, but, you know, just it's sort of eclectic. But my roots are R&B, you know, listening to that with my parents, as well as country and bluegrass.
Sounds good. I like bluegrass. I don't hear too much of that, but I like that. What they call it, ragtime. I like that sound. The piano, I really like that sound. But I just want to say thank you, Stefan, for spending this Friday
thank
with
you.
Us and sharing your no filters. Baby, we got to talk again, you know.
Absolutely.
Keep it 100.
I came through unscathed. It's all good. The scars that I have are the scars I came in with, so I'm good.
I know that's right. And same here. And Chris, thank you for asking those wonderful questions because you was pulling me out the fire. I kept jumping back in.
My pleasure. That's what I'm here for, Terry. That's why I'm the end of man. Yeah.
So on that note, I'm going to take us out with a little bit of Charlie Wilson. There goes my baby. Have a great weekend.
Oh, yeah. Uncle Charlie, God bless you all.
Okay.
Was rolling in my car when I pulled up at the mall. Couldn't find a place to park. Threw my keys to the valet.
Hand that for me.
I was only about to hang. Wasn't looking for a thing. I was just about to bounce. And then I saw Miss Lady.
Then I said to myself,
little thing, a couple of bags in her hand, right in front of Macy's.
That's why I figured I'd hang.
Then I saw her at the food court, sipping lemonade, conversating on a cell phone, looking so amazing. And I said to myself, there she goes, there she goes, there she goes, yeah.
Take her to the cookout.
Yeah, hug on hand.
Take her to my mama's house. She need a hair done.
My cousin can.
I'll treat her like a queen. Give her everything.
She will be my girl till we old and gray.
Some of your time.